This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أوصيكم وإياي أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون. كما قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. فقال الله تعالى أيضا يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وارحم إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. وبعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن هدي حد محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Before we continue, brother and sister, I would like to seek the cooperation of the brother to fill in the empty chairs in front first, so the latecomer may join us without crossing in front of us, inshallah. Jazakallah for your cooperation. Let us begin our day again with the morning dua that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommend his ummah to keep on remembering Allah Rabbul Alamin in the best manner that please Allah by following the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. Allahumma bika asbahna wa bika amsayna wa bika nahya wa bika namut wa ilayka nushur. بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد نبيا. اللهم زدني علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى طاعتك. اللهم اختم لنا بالحسن الخاتمة ولا تختم علينا بالسوء الخاتمة. اللهم أدخلنا جنتك وأجرنا من النار. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Amin Ya Rabbil Alameen. All praise due to Allah Rabbil Alameen for His blessing, for His mercy, for His guidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen and increase our health and our wealth. Amin. Increase knowledge that benefit all of us and increase our patience to face the new trial from this Shawwal to to the next Ramadan. May Allah make it easy for all our brothers and sisters who are traveling back home, inshallah. Those who have a long holiday. Today is the last weekend of any holidays, whether government holidays, school holidays. May Allah make their journey home a safe one. Amen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help those who are not well, so they will get cured. They will be back with us as soon as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen their faith, because faith is one of the healing power. When you have faith, Allah will help you better. Brothers and sisters, we never forget to ask Allah to bless our morning, our evening, our day, our night. We never forget to ask Allah to bless our living so that we live with the guidance of Allah. Follow the way that please Allah. Like what the Prophet ﷺ always remind his great nation, ittaqillah haythuma kunta. Be connected to Allah. Be faithful to Allah wherever you are. Meaning wherever we are as Muslim, we always try to give the best. If we love the best to happen to us at home, we want to give the best to others when we are outside. Like how we long to get everything that is good, we always like to give others the good thing too. We want people to pray for us. We don't forget to pray for them. We want all the good thing, happiness, to happen to us. We also work very hard to make sure that we make others happy. We believe that all of us who have celebrated Eid al-Fitri, we have been very happy eating, drinking from house to house. Alhamdulillah. If you can eat, it's a blessing. It's not easy to eat sometimes. When you have the desire to eat, you just keep on eating. But always remember, while you are eating, while you are drinking, remember Allah. Sometimes we are so busy entertaining our nafs, we even forget to mention the name of Allah. Brothers and sisters, we always remind ourselves, a lot of our brothers and sisters who were once upon a time are very healthy, energetic, then things change. And that is reality of life. One day you are happy, then you become very sad. That is part of the fitrah. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent by Almighty Allah to guide us, to remind us that this life is just temporary. Nobody will live forever. If the life is temporary, that means everything that you have also temporary. Temporarily you are healthy, then you may encounter some sickness, pain here and there. Temporarily you are wealthy, then you may experience poverty. Temporarily you have a good environment, then the good environment will change. You have peace sometime, and you find unrest sometime. That is the reality of this life. Allah Rabbul Alameen have reminded all of us 1,400 years ago. He said that وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Now Allah is guiding us through His Messenger Prophet Muhammad to inform all of us, to alert all of us, Surely Allah is going to put all of us into a test. Surely we are going to a kind of trial. Number one is fear. We all are living in fear. In the West today, what we were informed by brothers and sisters from UK, that they don't encourage any good Muslimah to travel to that place, yeah, at this point of time. Because as a sister, you are wearing a hijab. Because we believe in what Allah wants us to do. Allah wants us to dress modestly. So as a woman, we dress ourselves modestly to please Allah. Now, the West once upon a time challenged and championed human rights. That you have the right to do what you think is good for you. Freedom of speech. Now, they prove to the world. They have failed us. They have betrayed us. That what they claim, what they say, is purely just word. It's not from their heart. It's not what they mean. This is the sign of hypocrisy. At one time, you say this and that. People have the freedom to do anything to the Muslim. The Muslim have no freedom to exercise their right as a Muslim. This is very, very sad. They have a lot of cases that even when the sisters among themselves was having some good time at the park. Yeah, a park is an open area for everybody. You will find some group of people will attack them, throw acid at them, yeah, pulling out their hijab, yeah, abuse them with abusive words. We don't deserve that. We don't do this to anyone who live in the Muslim country. Because we honor their right. We give them their freedom. But when come to our right, they do not give us our right. This is khawf, fear. We know we live in fear today, sometimes. When the economy is hurt, we all don't feel so secure. Even in our own home, even when we're driving, we don't feel so secure anymore. Yeah. Number two, Allah said, Khawf wal-ju', hunger, alhamdulillah. We are not being tested by Allah, yeah, with hunger yet, alhamdulillah. We have enough food to eat to survive. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. But in other country, we can see a lot of people are suffering because of lack of food. They may have money, but they don't have food. Number three, Allah said, Khawf wal-ju' wa naqsu min al-amwali wal-anfus. We may have a lot of money, the lack of wealth, but now the value of our money have dropped. We may have the same amount before and today, but the value have dropped. So this also will cause a lot of unhappiness, yeah, to those who have a lot of money, because their value have changed. You can buy so many things before, now you can't. Last time you have 100 ringgit to go to the market, to the wet market, you can buy so many things and you can still have some balance. Today you go to the same market, just you pick few things, now it's more than 100 over ringgit. You don't know what is happening. Suddenly this 100 ringgit just can buy 2 or 3 things, where last time you can buy more than that and still have some balance. It's also an issue. Yeah. And also the loss of your loved one. Well, anfus. We love a lot of things. We love the creation of Allah. We love our children. We love our partners. But Allah loves them more than us. There are times that Allah said they have to come home to Him. They have to go back to Allah. Now, if you love the creation Allah, the creation of Allah more than the Creator, you will suffer more. So it's time for us to learn how to love the Creator. Because by loving the Creator, if anything happens, we are ready for that. Because life is temporary, happiness is temporary. Everything that we have today, everything that we own is temporary. The real life is not here. The real life is hereafter. Allah Rabbul Alameen remind us about the prophets. Today we go back to our book, Knowing the Prophets and the Messenger of Allah. If I'm not wrong, we should be talking on subject they were buried where they died, page 79. Go back to page 78, talking about the death of the prophets. Even the one that Allah loves so much, He chose only one at one point of time sometime, among the millions and the billions. Even He loved all the prophets and messengers. They also have to experience death. They also have to die. How about us? There's no guarantee from Allah. They are guaranteed by Allah that they will go to paradise. And paradise will not happen here. You only can go to paradise after you depart from this life. Meaning the real happiness is not here, brothers and sisters. The real happiness is in the hereafter. The reason Allah Rabbul Alameen is telling us about the reality of life, that even the prophets will die, is just to remind all of us that if the prophet will die, how can we long to live forever? No. The difference that Allah is telling us and the Prophet is informing his Ummah is where the Prophet died, there is where they will be buried. There is a difference. Yeah. When the Prophet died, he was not buried in a graveyard. No. Unless if he died in the graveyard. Example, if the Prophet is visiting the graveyard, then he passed away. Then he will be buried in or the graveyard because he died at the graveyard. So the Prophet ﷺ reminds us, this is from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. No Prophet was buried except where he died. Min haythu yamut. No prophet was buried except where he died. Allah honored the prophet by this, so that their bodies did not have to be moved around after their death, and also to protect the prophets from being worshipped by others. Because humans have a lot of weaknesses. If you are a holy man, a good man, a pious man, sometimes when you die, people start to worship you. You did not call them to worship you. You did not say that I am so and so. Even I'm dead, but I can still hear you. I can still pray for you. No. When a person dies, he or she is helpless. He or she cannot do anything anymore except hoping for our prayer. That's why even when we visit our Prophet's graveyard, we will give salam to him. Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayka. Example. Assalamu alayka ya Abu Bakr. Assalamu alayka ya Umar. We will pray for them. We will never go to any grave and say, "Oh, holy man, oh, Saint Wali, I'm having a problem today. Please help me." Just an example, if the doctor, your personal friend who loves you so much, and he specializes in heart or in any part of your body, you have any pain, you see him, khalas. But now he is dead. Can you go back to the doctor, the same way, "Hey, doctor, you remember me? No, I'm your patient, you know. I'm one of the lawyer patients. I still even have toothache now. Please, yeah, help me." Do you think he can come up and say, "No problem, open your mouth, I'll check"? No, no, no. They have a close to you, even if your husband is a doctor who's there to help you when you have pain before. Now he's gone. He's helpless. He can't do anything anymore. But he's hoping for us to pray for him. And that's why when the Prophet encouraged us to visit the grave, it's not to ask the people on the grave to pray for you. You pray for them. The first thing that the Prophet commanded us to do when you visit any Muslim grave, give salam. Assalamu alaikum. Ya ahl al qubur, ahl al diyar min al mu'minin wal muslimin, wa inna insha'Allah hubikum lahikun. May the peace and the blessing of Allah be upon all of you who are in the graveyard. Because all the people who die as Muslim is like our family. We don't treat them as stranger anymore. They are all our family. You pray for them. This is the blessing, extra blessing Allah provides for the believers, for the Muslim. When you die as a Muslim, brother and sister, wherever you are, even you only have two friends with you, you are isolated, you're living in a country where hardly any Muslim is around. But because you are a Muslim, each time when a Muslim is performing their salah, their prayer, every day we pray 5 times a day. In our at-tahiyyat, the tahiyyat, before we end our prayer, we do make a prayer for every Muslim. Whether we know them or not, you will be in their prayer. There is the extra benefit you will gain becoming a Muslim. Because you will not feel alone. Even you don't have anybody with you, you are the lone ranger as a Muslim. But because you are a Muslim, each time when a Muslim is performing his prayer, he will say, "Attahiyyatu lillah, wassalawatu wattayyibat. Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alan nabiyyu wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihim." This is for everybody. When you use the word assalamu alan, is upon those who have passed away. Yeah? This is the blessing that Islam provides for the believers. So we always pray for the Muslim. And then we ask Allah Rabbul Alameen to give them reward. Save them from the torment of the grave, from the torment of hellfire, and may Allah grant them paradise. And also we remind ourselves, "O Allah, we will be like them." Yeah? Soon we are going there too. When we die, nobody wants to bury us in our house. Even this is our house. This is our room. Yeah, we love our room so much. We hardly want to get out from the room because it's so comfort. But when you die, people will take you out. Even you don't like it, but people don't like you to stay in that room anymore. Yeah? That is the reality. So what we have to do, brothers and sisters, remember, even we will not be buried in the place that we want to be buried, as long as there is a graveyard, a Muslim graveyard. There will come a time when you live in a foreign country, there's no Muslim graveyard. So where can you get your body buried? At that point of time, wherever they want to bury you, wherever the authority allow your body to be buried, you can be buried anywhere. People may say, if you're buried in the non-Islamic Muslim cemetery, so when you raise up in the day of judgment, what is going to happen to you? You know, you don't worry about that. Yeah. In other hadith, there is a saying, those who pray and they perform their prayer with tuma'nina, yeah, in the right manner, that prayer become a hujjah burhan. That prayer will protect them. Wherever you bury them, in the day of judgment, Allah will raise them up among the righteous people. But if you are a bad guy, you can be buried next, yeah, to Baqiyah. You can be buried in Medina, and next to all the good people. But because you as a person is a bad guy, in the day of judgment, Allah will raise you among Qarun, Firaun, Hammam, all the bad guys. The bad guy will be shocked, and you also be having a big surprise. This is not my place. No, yeah, this is your place. Because when you are in this life, you love to act like them and behave like them. Arrogant. Very, yeah, I would say they're disobedient. Very arrogant. Very proud of yourself. Yeah, and you do a lot of bad things. So now you'll be raised among the bad guys. Even if you are buried in Medina, or in Mecca you went for Umrah or Hajj, but because you yourself is a bad person, yeah, you like to oppress people, you do a bad thing, then in the day of judgment, there's no guarantee that you will be raised up among the people in Mecca. No. Suddenly you'll be raised up from somewhere among strangers. Then you will say, this is not my place. Say, yes, this is your place. Because you love us so much. You behave like us. Yeah? You follow our way. So you should be with us. Now this is very important for us as Muslims. If we want to have a good ending, we want to die in peace, Allah have reminded us, and the ayah I always recite in the beginning of my lecture. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, try your best to be obedient to Allah. Try your best to have faith in Allah. Not only when you are at your house, when you are in among the Muslim environment, wherever you are, ittaqillah haythuma kunta. And then Allah remind the Prophet, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ. Make sure none of us will die until we have submit to Allah Almighty, Rabbul Alameen. إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. In other ayah, Allah said, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Remember, the day will come, neither your children, your loved one, your property, whatever you love in this life, can save you anymore, can help you. No one. The only thing can that save you, brother and sister, is not the people around you, the thing that you have, the money that you have, the gold and silver, whatever that you love so much, your cats, your dog. They can't help you. The only thing that can help you, Allah said, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except those who have trained their heart to submit to Allah. Only with the submissive heart, you will be safe. And this is why we are here every Sunday, to learn how to submit ourselves to Allah Rabbul Alameen, to accept the qada and the qadar. It's not easy, but it's worth trying. Because you will never, never regret. You may not be happy here to accept what Allah has ordained for you, but you will be happy forever in the hereafter. Which one do we prefer, brother and sister? To have happiness for a while and then suffer in the future, or just suffer for a while, then we are happy forever? Which one you prefer, sisters? Yeah? Happy forever, of course. Of course, we want to be happy from both sides, if possible. Happy in this life and happy in the next life. And that's why we keep on asking Allah, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azaban nar. Oh Allah, give us happiness, success in this life. The same we are asking Allah, give us happiness and success in the next life. But Allah is telling us that this life is temporary, and He is going to test all of us. Can we be happy in this life, brother and sister? Can we be happy? Can we be happy? Yeah? Yeah, it's up to you. It's up to you whether you want to be happy or not. Over there, no worker can make you sad. In Akhirah, when you enter paradise, nobody can hurt you. Nobody can make you unhappy. And you will be always happy and happy and happy. That is in Jannah. But here, while you are happy, then sometimes your son make you sad. Your daughter make you sad again. Your friend make you sad. Your parent make you sad. Your loved one make you sad. While you are happy, suddenly they make you sad. Have you experienced that before? Yeah. You are talking so nice, suddenly the wrong word they used, oh, your mood change. No. They are so positive, they misuse one word, khalas. All the honey becomes sour. You know, this is reality. But it's up to you, brother and sister. Don't let words hurt you. Don't let this thing change your mood. It's a matter of word. People can say anything they want to say. It's up to you. Yeah. To be strong. To be positive. That's why we always say, be like the fish. Be like the fish. The fish, they live in the ocean. And the ocean, the sea, is full of salt. But that environment never changed the fitra of the fish. The fish is still a fish, as not salty. You never catch a fish in the ocean and the fish tastes salty. No. Even they are living in the ocean, they are soaked, yeah, in salt. Of course, if you look at the situation, they are soaked in the salt. But they never change their fitrah. So you allow yourself to be anywhere, but don't let the environment change you. Can we do that? Inshallah, if you are connected to Allah, if you try to follow the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ, they have gone through a lot of trial. They are sad not because for themselves, they are sad because of the people. They are worried that they will go to hell. They are worried they will fail. They want to save them. The Prophet was sent to save people. Yeah, from darkness to light. Yeah, from sadness to happiness. From bad to good. But when he was inviting them to become good, they refused to change. This made the Prophet very sad, not because of himself. He was so sad because of us. But in the same time, nobody stopped the Prophet from moving forward. Nobody. They will keep on inviting people until Allah invite them back to Him. So this is very important. Happiness, actually, brother and sister, will not come from outside. The real happiness comes from Allah. The real peace that we are looking for belong to Allah. And that's why we always been taught by our Prophet after each fardu prayer to make a short dua. Allahumma antas salam wa minkas salam tabarakta ya jal jalali wal ikram. To remind us that, oh Allah, you are peace. Peace belong to you and peace will only come from you. Can we understand this, brother and sister? It's very important. That means don't ever think that peace will come from your environment. No. No. Do you have peace when you have what you want to have? Yeah. Do you love your handphone, brother and sister? Oh. We are so attached with the phone now. When the phone is not with us, we are lost. No, what's going to happen to us? So attached. Thing that you love so much suddenly is gone. Kaput already. What is going to happen to you? Get upset? Of course you get upset. Suddenly it's stolen. Somebody took it from you. What is going to happen? Worse, your worst upset. You will curse that guy. You know, you don't know what he's going to say. You will curse him. You say he go to hell. He's a shaitan. Suddenly, no, all the good feeling you have gone. Especially when all the data is taken away from you. Wow. That is worse. Can you imagine? Yeah. I experienced that once when I first became a Muslim. That was in the 60s, late 60s. One thing that I love so much, yeah, is the special boot, the cowboy boots. You know, at the time you look like cowboy Red Indian movies, you know, the black and white movie at the time. We love all the cowboy, the cowgirl, but most of the bandit and cowboy Apaches, you know. So I love one kind of boot where the cowboy always use. Yeah. It's a high, long boot, mashallah. So happened. No, somebody give it to me. I love that boot so much that every day I polish it. I make it shining. That I hardly use it. Sometimes you love something so much, you don't use. You just admire looking at that thing. Wow, you hold it, touch it, put some cream and you polish and polish and polish. Yeah. Every day you look at it, make you happy. Then I keep it always at home. Something happened. Suddenly that boot disappeared. You need for days I have sleepless night thinking of that boot. The whole day I keep on cursing. If that guy, if I caught him, I'll cut off his hand. I will apply hudud on him. It's not that I put my shoes outside and people stole it. What can I do? It's inside the house. Yeah, sometimes you love and other people also love that kind of shoe. No. Can you imagine? For 3 days I got sleepless night. People talk to me, I just cannot respond. Deep in my heart, I just curse that guy. If really that guy appeared, if I know he's still, I don't know what's going to happen to him. Yeah. And there are times, sometimes I have made my mindset. Anything that cross this border, I have something beside the door. Anything cross, if people put his hand inside, I will chop off his hand. This is my border, my private area. You come in without permission, I don't want to see who you are, I cut off your hand first. That is the anger I have, Until I learn. No, brother said, no, gone, no, it's okay. No. This is dunya. God will give you a new one. No. and the 10. New one is different. This is something that I love so much. The more you love towards something other than Allah, you suffer more. You have to divert your love now. To love the Creator more than His creation, you will not suffer. Can we make the adjustment, brother and sister? I know you love your wife, you love your husband, you love your children, you love your son, your grandchildren. Who don't love them? Everybody loves grandchildren. You love your phone, alhamdulillah. But when it's gone, it's gone. What do you say when it's gone? Yeah. Allah said, I test you with all these things. And then at the end of the ayah, Allah reminds us, نَخْسُ مِنَا أَمْوَالِ وَأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Glad news, good tiding. Or good news, glad tiding. Allah said, for those who have patience. Who are those who have patience? Who are those who said, I have sabar? Brother and sister, who are those who can say, I have sabar, I'm patient, don't worry. Who are those people? Look at what Allah said. Who are the one who have patience? Allazina iza asabathum musiba qalu inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You want to know whether you have patience or not, brother and sister, when some bad thing happened to you, a calamity happened to you, death happened to you, loss of property, loss of life, loss of this and that, you always remember Allah first. We said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Everything came from Allah, and to Him we all will return. Happiness came from Him. Peace came from Allah. That this will go back to Him. So you can check your patience now. When we are tested by Allah, how do we respond? Normally, how do we respond? We respond with anger, frustration, hatred. All the negative comes in. Now you have to ask yourself, when something happens, do you respond immediately, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Nothing belongs to us, it belongs to Allah. Then, alhamdulillah. Then you can say, I have patience. Can we do that, brother and sister? Remember that. Because when you are connected to Allah, you know that you are not the owner. The owner is Allah. Malik. He is the owner of everything. You try your best to secure what you want to secure. You try to protect yourself, protect your property, protect your family, protect your home. You try. You know the Raya time, Eid time, we have a lot of discussion with all the different brothers and sisters together. Very sad. You are living in a very secure area and somebody come and tell you, no, my car was stolen from my house. The car was stolen from the house. In front the gate. Or some said, my car was stolen when I parked inside the house and inside the gate. Where is the security guard? What is happening? I pay for the security, but still not secure. So we ask them, can you have you claimed from the insurance? Yeah, I do have some, but it's up to the insurance policy that you buy. Whether you put a price, a higher price. Can you imagine? There are people there to come into your house or into the gate. How they come into the gate, only Allah knows. And they can drive your car out. How do you feel, brother and sister? Yeah. How do you feel if that thing happened and you were there? Will you let it happen? You have the right to protect your property. And if you are killed by protecting your property, the Prophet said, you die as a shaheed. You die as a shaheed. Or you also have the right to say, you want this car? Take it. Leave us in peace. Take the car. Car is not my life. I don't have a car, I have an LRT. MRT. Now you got Grab car. Uber, you just call. Then you got drivers now. You can have so many different cars now. This driver, you come with another car. So you are rich with cars today, alhamdulillah. If you own your own car, you only drive that car for years, in and out. Now you don't have that car, you just call. Just one call. Not the car will come to you, a driver will come for you. Is that good? It depends how you look at life. You can get upset, you got a heart attack because your car disappeared. And you can die because of a car. And then suddenly you come out from the home, you don't see the car, you drop dead. What can you do with the car? This is temporarily. The comfort of life is temporarily here. You can have, alhamdulillah, you don't have. Khalas, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Is that easy, brother and sister? No, not yet, not yet. I'm going to go all out first. I'm going to check here and there. I'm going to curse everybody first. Then after that, I will say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. No, you say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un first. Calm down yourself because nothing belongs to us. You know what I always believe? If Allah said this thing belongs to you, nobody can take it away from you. There's one thing you must believe in, the qadr and qadr. If Allah said this is yours, nobody can take it away from you. But if Allah said no, you will take care of this thing, you are a trustee for 1 year. After 1 year, this thing is going to disappear. It will disappear. Either the thing disappeared or you disappeared. Both ways. No, you'll be separated. You may love that thing so much, but Allah said, I love you more. I want you to come home. And Allah don't allow you to drive home. No. You don't have to drive. No. Yeah, you just have to come home by yourself. That's all. Life is temporary, brother and sister. Number two, their bodies do not rot. This is another extra that Allah gave to the prophets. Shortly after a person dies, his body rots and decomposes. This, however, does not happen to the prophets. Allah gives a special favor to them. After their death, their bodies never rot, including those who die in the battlefield as a shahid. Their body will not rot. Allah promised that He will bless and protect their body. Yeah. That's why when there is some work that was going on at Uhud, something they were digging and digging, and they hit some hard thing. When they took up the people who died 1,400 years ago, the body is still intact and still bleed. Allahu Akbar. Yeah. Aus bin Aus reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna Allah harma alal ardi an taqula azdad azat al anbiya." Indeed, Allah has forbidden for the earth to eat from the prophets' bodies. You know, all this earth, all the worm and everything belong to Allah. If Allah said, don't touch this body, nothing can cause harm to this body. It's up to Allah to make His command. Yeah? Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. But sometimes, Allah may curse someone, and the one that Allah cursed most, also his body is being protected for other reason. King Pharaoh was cursed by Allah because he claimed that I am the Lord, the High One. Ana rabbukumul a'la. then Allah punish him. When Allah punish him, Allah said that his body will not rot. Why? Because Allah want to show it to the living. For those who are so arrogant, human play God, this is what happened. No? They, the prophets, live and pray in their graves. The prophets are alive in their grave. We do not understand their life because it is different from the life of this world. But we know that it is an intermediate life that called barzakh. That's why you remember I did mention many years ago, we have gone through how many levels? We are in which alam now? We are in the middle alam. The first world is the world of the soul, alam arwah. No physical being yet. The soul was created by Allah early. And that time Allah asked us, Alastu bi rabbikum qalu bala. Am I not your Lord? All souls will respond, yes, you are our Lord, O Allah. Because that soul was not being corrupted yet. It's very pure, very clean. Then this soul is transferred to the next level, next world. Alam Rahim, in our mother's womb. There is a second world. And Allah still asks, Alastu bi rabbikum, we will say, Qalu bala. Yes, because we are not being corrupted yet. Very clean, fitrah. Then someone passed away from there. From Rahim, they go down to Alam Barzakh. But majority of us, alhamdulillah, we pass through the second world. Now we come to the third Alam, Alam Dunya. This is Dunya. Dunya means this is the life that you see things around you. Everything that you see is Dunya. Anything you can touch is dunya. Thing that you can see is ghaib. This is alam dunya. And alam dunya is divided into two levels. First level, alam fitrah. The Prophet said, Kullu maulid yulad ala fitrah. Every child is born pure and clean. They are not sinners. They are born pure and clean. When you reach the age of maturity, then you move to the second level, alam zam. You start to commit sin. We don't inherit the sin of Adam. We all are born pure and clean. But then when you reach the age of maturity, then we start to commit sin. Why? Why we commit sin, brother and sister? Yeah, why? We commit sin because we have been human. The Prophet said, Kullu bani Adam qatta'un. Every children of Adam, when they reach the age of maturity, they are no more angels. They will commit sin, minor or major. But Allah still loves us when you repent to Him. Allah still loves us. To show us the mercy, the love of Allah is so great. He never said that, the minute you commit sin, I punish you. No. He still provide for you. Yeah. He still care for you. He still open the door of repentance for you. That is why Allah is so merciful. And that's why you can see a lot of sinners still live until today. Yeah. There is the love of Allah Rabbul Alamin and His mercy. There is the dunya. Then we are going to die a natural death following the fitrah. Then we are moving to the fourth alam, alam barzakh. This is called barzakh. Barzakh in the Quran means there is a wall that protects you from coming back to this life. and protect you from going forward, because Jannah is not there. It's another world, the waiting world. We consider this Alam Barzakh, the waiting world. Like you are taking a flight, you go to the waiting lounge. Yeah. So if you have a special card, you can go to a special lounge. Yeah. And they serve you drink free, food free, everything is free if you have a special pass. You don't have that special pass, you still wait at the departure lounge. You know? All self-service. This is just an example of life. You know? They live, the prophets, they are living in an area called Alam Barzakh, like other people also live there. But they live there and they are praying, they are alive. We live there, but we are asleep. You recite Surah Yasin, you will remember that Allah reminds us that the day will come, the day of resurrection, He will raise us up. Then you say, who wake us up? We are just sleeping all the time. But even you are asleep, if you are a good guy, Allah give you good dreams. Now, you can dream a lot of delight waiting for you in paradise. It's like now, if you have a good dream, how do you feel? You want to know whether the person have good dream or not. When people is dreaming, look at their face. If you are not asleep, you suddenly hear them giggling, happy. So look at them. They'll be very happy because they have good dreams. Something good is happening in the dream, So they make. But suddenly you hear somebody like crying, shouting. Have you heard that before? When you are sleeping, the one next to you suddenly shout, scream. Have you heard that before? No, huh? Alhamdulillah. If no, alhamdulillah. That means they always have good dream. You will see that. Sometimes they will struggle. Then you know they having have bad dream. They may be running away from somebody. Somebody is chasing them, Somebody is going to attack them. And they are screaming, asking for help. And you can remember, if you do that, if you wake them up at that time, they will be very happy that you saved them. But in the same time, you can see they are very tired. But they are sleeping. They are not jogging or climbing up the hill. But now they are very tired. It's because dream is talking about our soul are in contact with another world. Have you experienced that in your dream sometime? You see somebody, but you have never seen them before. Then later on, after a few years, you will go to that particular place. It triggers you. I think I've been to this place before. Have you experienced that before? Yes. Because our soul travels. They travel. They can travel very fast. And they'll come back again if Allah permit them. That's why when you are sleeping, you are like dying. The Prophet said, before you go to bed, what do you say? Make a dua. Minimum the bismikallahumma amuntu wa ahya. Oh Allah, with your name, I am going to die now. And if you wish, I will be alive again. Sleeping is like dying. You off everything. Your eye closed, your ear closed, mouth closed. But mouth sometimes will open because you want some oxygen, Sometimes when people are very, they like to play around with you, when you open your mouth, they put some salt there. And you suddenly you respond. But you are sleeping. Or they put some honey and also you respond. So that these are the guy like to do this sometimes. Yeah? And it's not good. When people are sleeping, let them sleep in peace. Now this is very important. But the Prophet, they do not sleep. They are alive, awake, and worshipping Allah, praising Allah. Allahu Akbar. Until the resurrection come, when Allah said time for every dead body, to be resurrected, then everybody will get out from Alam Barzah to the last level of this world. Alam Al-Akhirah. The last world. And that is the day that Allah will come to judge every single soul. Every one of us. And who will be our witnesses? Our body will bear witness against us. Even after their death, the prophets continued to worship Allah in the best way. Anas reported that the prophet said, "Al-anbiya ahya'u fil quburihim yusallun." The prophets are alive and praying in their grave. We don't pray anymore. We only pray here. After you are dead, brother and sister, there's no prayer anymore. People call azan, you don't have to wake up anymore. No. Ramadan come in, you don't have to fast anymore. You are gone. But for the prophets, they pray. Allah still bless them. But they are in Alam Barzah. Remember, Alam Barzah. Neither they come back here, neither they are in Akhirah. Nobody is in Akhirah yet. You remember the Prophet did say that the gate of paradise will not open until Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam enter. Even Prophet Adam have died, so many, many years ago. Noah, Abraham, but none of them have entered paradise, because paradise and hell only function after the day of judgment. But it's ready. Paradise is ready. All the delight is ready. Children, if you learn what kind of phone you just said, is ready for you. Don't worry about iPhone 8. iPhone 8 said coming on September. This one you cannot imagine. Just make sure you go to paradise. Anything you want, you just ask, "Oh Allah, I like this." Allah gave it to you. Allahu Akbar. This is Jannah. Now this does not necessarily mean that the Prophet stand up in the grave and perform the prayer that we know. How they pray is up to Allah's Qadar. Do they make wudu like we make wudu? No, we don't know. But they are praying. In the Quran, Allah did mention also about those who die as a shaheed. Allah Rabbul Alameen remind us in Surah Al-Baqarah, "Fazkuruni azkurkum washkururi wala takfurun." And then Allah talk about, "Ya ayyuhallazina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah, inna Allaha ma'as-sabirin wa la taqulu liman yuqtalu fi sabilillahi amwatun bal ahya'un walakin la tashurun." Don't ever say that those who die in the way of Allah is dead. No. But they are alive in the sight of Allah Rabbul Alamin. So if we want to live and live in the mind of the people, even we are no more here, have a good ending. That's why when you are alive, brother and sister, do as many good deeds as you can, so that this good thing will be left behind and people will remind you because of the good thing. It will benefit you. It's like the Prophet, the companions of the Prophet, the four Caliph. We have never seen them before. We don't live in that time, because they are so good, so noble, so pious, so helpful. Until today, every good Muslim remember them. We never seen our Prophet, but we love him so much. We never met Abu Bakr, we talk about Abu Bakr. We never met Omar, we talk about Omar. Like, as though as they are alive. They are alive in the memory of the good people. Yeah, Allahu Akbar. This is what we want to have, a good ending. So we must try our best to do what is good when we are given the opportunity. You must remember, brothers and sisters, life at Al-Barzah is different to the life of this world. So we cannot know exactly how things really happen over there, but we believe what Allah and the Prophet just said, and that's all. Don't go further than that. Yeah. And this is very important. Other qualities of the Prophet that is important for all of us to remember. They spoke their people's language. The Prophet spoke the same language as their people. This was important in order to deliver Allah's message in a clear and understandable way. Allah said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ Surah Ibrahim verses 4. We did not send any messenger except in the tongue of his people so that they would make things clear to them. That's why the Prophet is so important to explain what Allah wants us to do. لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ The Prophet's duty is to make sure that when Allah reveal a command to the Prophet have to deliver the message in a clear manner that people will not misinterpret the word of God. And that's why we cannot just use an ayah for our own benefit. You cannot do that. You cannot interpret the Quran based on your own liking and desire. You must interpret the Quran the way the Prophet have interpreted the Quran. Can you imagine if you interpret the Quran in this manner? Look at one ayah in the Quran. Allah said, "Wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyakal yaqin." An ayah Allah said, "Wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyakal yaqin." Literally the meaning is, worship your God until yaqin comes to you. Until you attain yaqin. You know what is yaqin? What is yaqin, brother and sister? To us, literally yaqin means until certainty come to you. But the yaqin is death. The meaning of yaqin here is death. Because death is certain. That's why Allah used the word yaqin. But sometimes Allah don't use the word death. He used yaqin. But if you try to interpret yaqin into your understanding, worship Allah until you are certain. When you are certain, don't have to worship. And this is what happened. It's like another ayah in Surah Taha. If you don't follow the way of the Prophet, Allah said, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَةَ لِذِكْرِ أَقِيمُ الصَّلَةَ لِذِكْرِ Establish your prayer so that you remember me, Allah. That's why Allah wants us to pray so that we remember Him. So if you interpret this literally, what will happen? What will happen? You see, the reason Allah wants you to pray is so that you remember Him. So if you remember Him, you don't have to pray. That's why you see some Muslims, they don't pray. You are saying, why don't you pray? What are you doing? Bowing, prostrating, what is this? Why you do this? This is nonsense. The important thing is remember God. I have remembered Him. No problem. You don't have to go take wudu and all. Waste your time. You remember Allah everywhere. And now they say, I have remembered Allah. I'm so close to Allah. I don't have to make bowing and prostration. This rak'at. What is this rak'at? No value. The important, remember Allah. When you try to interpret the Quran in your way. The other verses that people use sometimes, they say, if you want Allah to love you, do you want Allah to love you? Do we want Allah to love us? Yes. Then this guy will say to another person, you know what Allah said? Qul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah. He will say to the person, if you love Allah, you have to listen to me. Follow me. Then Allah love you. This kind of thing been used by the old people before. They say ayat pengasih. Ayat pengasih. You want to win the love from the other party, you use this word. If you love Allah, follow me. Then Allah love you. They use that. They misuse the word. This word follow me is not follow you. Follow me is follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see, this is the danger of when you try to interpret the word of Allah according to your own liking. Yeah? Allahu Akbar. The Prophet, most of the Prophet was sent to their people with the language that they are speaking. Similarly, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lam yab'as Allahu ta'ala nabiyan illa balagat qawmah. Allah did not send any prophet except that he spoke his people's language. Yeah. And this is important. And that's why some people may ask us, how about us? Is there a Chinese prophet been sent to China? What do you say? Wallahu a'lam. Allah said, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. Indeed, we have sent to every ummah a messenger. If the name is not mentioned, we don't mention, but we believe a messenger was sent. But whether they meet up that messengers or not, we don't know. Majority of the messenger was sent in the Middle East. Because Middle East is the middle point, yeah, for the message of Allah to spread over. But the message of Allah actually have reached the world. But whether the people are responding or not, we do not know. But Allah is so just and fair. He said, وَمَا كُنَّ مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. We will not punish any group of people until our message have reached them and they rejected. If you found a group of people isolated in an area where no one went to them, talked to them about Islam, they believe what they want to believe. They believe the star or the moon, anything. That there is a creator. They believe there is a creator. They are considered a believer at the point of time. But when the message has come to you and the prophet have proved it to you, it's like we as a missionary, we bring the message to them, we show them the evidence, and they know, purposely they reject, then they will be responsible to their own deeds, their choice. They choose not to believe. So it's different from people who do not believe because they do not know what to believe. Then people choose not to believe. Yeah? May Allah Rabbul Alameen give us, yeah, the wisdom to understand His ayah. Ameen. Lastly, brothers and sisters, that I'd like to end for today's class. They were good in appearance. The common people are more attracted to a person who has a good and healthy appearance. They usually belittle or make fun of an ugly or weak individual. Because of this, we find that Allah sent His Prophet as healthy, strong, and handsome, nice-looking people. You know? Anas have said, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was the most handsome of people, and the most generous, and the most courageous, brave, strong. They are physically, mentally, and spiritually, they are strong. They never give up. Because they must be set as a model, an example for others. If you are weak, you cannot help those who are weak. You must be strong to help the weak. If you are ignorant, you cannot help those who don't have knowledge. You must have wisdom, knowledge, then you can help others. Yeah, this is why Allah choose most of them have that kind of personality. You know, they may make some mistake, but not a sin. Just make some mistakes. Yeah. Anas reported again. The Prophet ﷺ said, Yusuf was given half of the beauty of all people. Yusuf is a very handsome guy too, you know. But for the sister, if you want your husband to look like Yusuf, don't worry, go to paradise first. That's the only thing you have to do. Prepare your journey to paradise. When you go to paradise, you ask Allah whatever you want. I want my husband. Allah will give you your husband. But I want my husband to look like Yusuf now. Then he will look like Yusuf. No problem. Allah will answer all your wish. As long as you go to paradise. But if you choose not to have that kind of husband, also you can ask, because Allah will not force you, and there is no force over there. It's really only happiness. You like maybe the look, but you don't like their character. So you can say, I like the look but not his character. He don't have that character anymore. Any character you like, that kind of character will come to you. Yeah? It's very unique in paradise. Eh? You just ask, you get it. Alhamdulillah. Yeah? The boys, you don't like your sibling sometime. Yeah? Allah will put him another place. You don't worry. Yeah? I don't want to see him. I've seen him so long. For 40 years, no? I don't like my brothers anymore. No. If your brother also go to paradise, your brother will be another place. You don't worry. You never see him, neither he want to see you too. He will see people that he like to see. You don't have to worry. When you are in paradise, brother and sister, no worry. No headache, no migraine, no toothache, no stomach ache, nothing. All the ache gone. Just happy. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. Yeah. So brothers and sisters, we hope Allah Rabbul Alameen give us the right feeling to love our prophets. Yeah? And in the same time, we don't worship them. Remember, they have passed away. Innaqal mayit. Yeah? Allah even said to the Prophet that you are dead. But of course, in the eye of Allah, you all are alive, worshipping Allah in Alam Barzah. But in the eye of the dunya, you are no more here. So they are dead, like everyone will die. Angel of death will pull all the other souls, even the soul of Angel Gabriel will be pulled off, and at last left him and Allah. Angel of death, he is the angel of death. He will pull all other souls until the last one between he and Allah. And he was hoping and praying that he will not die. Then he was asking Allah to spare him. Allah said, no. Every creation of Allah will have to experience death. Then he will go back to Allah. Except Allah. Hayyun wa la yamut. He will live and will never experience death. That's why Allah is unique and He's different. Other than that, everyone will die. Then the day of resurrection will take place. Then alhamdulillah, we all will be awake again. And we are going to be how tall? How tall is our height? 60 amlang. The height of 2 coconut trees. Huge. But you don't worry the day over there. MashaAllah, yeah. May Allah Rabbul Alameen, yeah, make us among the people who our Prophet will recognize us. Because we love him, we love his teaching, and we are trying to follow his sunnah so that we qualify ourselves to receive his intercession, Shafa'ah, in the Day of Judgment. Ameen. If there's any question from the brother and sister, now we open for Q&A. Fatafaddal. Question from the sister first. Is there a mic? Pass the mic back to the sisters. Anyhow, we wish all of you Eid Mubarak for all the sisters who are not with us. Yeah? We wish all of you Eid Mubarak. Taqabbalallahu minna minkum. Kullu am wa antum bil khair. Insha'Allah. Pass the mic to the sister, please. Yep, it's on, I think, inshallah. The light is on. Okay.
Okay, assalamualaikum, Ustaz.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
I have received different opinions from other Ustaz. It's regarding Puasa Enam. From my understanding, the Muslimah, we have to pay back our fast. And then only we are able to do the Puasa Enam. But other Ustaz, they inform that it can be done concurrently together. So it's just your niyat. So can you please explain, clarify?
Yeah, when you talk about Ibadah, brother and sister, this is a very relevant question. In the month of Shawwal, we have a saying of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Man sama Ramadan thumma atba'u min sitta min Shawwal ka sawm ad-dahr. The Prophet have said, whoever fasts in the month of Ramadan, then they follow up with 6 days of Shawwal as an optional fast, they will get the reward like fasting the whole year. This is the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, opinion is always there. Yeah. People will give you opinion, it's up to your intention. You can combine the Ramadan qada with the Shawwal together. Now, if there is an evidence to back up what they say, we can follow, no problem. But it's just an opinion. Then we don't follow opinion and ignore the saying of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The saying of the Prophet, two saying that is very beautiful to understand. Number one, I just quote, Man Soma Ramadan. What do this hadith is trying to tell us? Whoever have completed his Ramadan. Thumma. Now, the word that the Prophet used in this sentence is thumma, not wa. Not wow. Wow, it can come. Which one comes first is not a problem. When the word thumma means you must follow the sequence. You must follow it. It will come only after Ramadan. After you have completed your Ramadan, you follow with 6 days of Shawwal. Now, the sister, normally if you are having your period or menses, do you fast? No. That means you did not complete your Ramadan. Hadith said, after completed Ramadan, then follow up with 6 days of Shawwal. That's how it goes. Secondly, the Prophet did say, Inna Allah la yaqbalu tatawwa'a hatta tu'addi farida. Allah will not accept anything that is optional until what is obligatory is been performed. You got it, yeah? Now, if people say you can combine the niyat, as long as your niyat is okay, no problem. If that is the case, we are going to combine a lot of niyat. You know, next time when come to Ramadan, when you pray Isha, you also niyat Taraweh. Yeah? 4 rakat Isha, 4 rakat Taraweh together. So you finish 4 already. You can't. Sunnah is sunnah. It's not an obligation at all. Where this is fardu, it's like you pray the sunnah prayer and the fardu prayer. Can you combine? You can't. Because the hukum is totally different. This is a must for you to do. If you don't do, you commit a sin. This is an optional. You have a choice to do or not to do. Opinion is there. But I don't entertain this opinion. If you ask me personally, based on the hadith of the Prophet was very clear, and the woman, you don't have to rush. Do your fard first. If you have enough time to do the 6 days of Shawwal, you do it. If not, you don't commit a sin at all. Why are you so worried about the 6 days? No. But if there is the saying of the Prophet, you can combine two in one, no problem. But I don't entertain opinion when ibadah is concerned. Even Imam Shafi'i said, La qiyas fil ibadah. When come to ibadah, you don't play with qiyas. It's okay when it's with intention. No, no, no. You got that, inshallah? Yeah. I know this thing have been repeating, yeah. Every year people say, yeah, there are some scholars say, it's just an opinion, brother and sister. Why do you entertain an opinion and ignore the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now, next question from the sister. Now, you go from the sister first, no problem. Then we'll come back to the brothers.
Assalamualaikum, Sheikh.
Waalaikumsalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Yeah, there are stages of alam that we will be going through, but exactly when will the punishment start? Is it when the death of the body is in the grave, and then that's when the punishment starts, or the punishment will start when alam barzakh and resurrection and so on and so forth?
Yeah, the Prophet did say there are certain sins that we committed here will allow us to be punished in alam kubur. That's why the Prophet remind us to make this dua, Allahumma inni a'udzubika min azabi jahannam wa min azabil qabri. That means there's a punishment in the grave. And the Prophet have make it very clear that the punishment of the grave is not because of a big sin, but because of two. One, when you are responding to the call of nature and you do not clean your private part properly, now you'll be punished in the grave. The second is when you like to gossip people. Gossiping, backbiting, yeah, fitna, Allah will punish you from the grave. Not until the day of judgment. How the punishment from Allah? You leave it to Allah Rabbul Alameen. There's so many hadiths talk about the punishment. Yeah. But how the punishment will come, only Allah knows. Yeah. The earth become very tight for you. You know? But if you are a good person, the space will be very, the alam barzah will be very wide, very spacey. I always try to make an analogy, just make it easy to understand. If you have a good death, husnil khatimah, when you are there, you do not die doing all this gossiping and everything, then Allah will shift you to alam barzah, and you are like in a 5-star hotel room, you know, comfortable, relaxed, you know, aircon, alhamdulillah. But if you are the other guy, then you'll be in a room also, you know, no star room, you know, no star hotel, you know, no aircon. And then the room is small. You're still there, but the environment is different. You don't have that comfort. But Allah, because you know the Prophet did say, when you pray 5 times a day, you give zakat, you fast, and also you perform your Hajj or Umrah. When we die, when the earth or anything is going to come closer to you, these deeds that you are doing will stand beside you and will stop them from coming to you. No, you cannot come from this angle. I'm here to protect him. He want to come from the top, another this yourself. No, no, I'm here to protect him. So you are protected from all angles. As long as you observe the ritual, the five pillars of Islam, these pillars of Islam will protect you from all the torments of the grave. And there will be light in Alam Barzal for you. You don't live in Alam Barzal in darkness. No. You remember what the Prophet even said? Those who die as a shaheed, his soul will be transferred into a green bird. And this green bird will be allowed by Allah to fly into paradise and see the delight of paradise. But not bodily yet, just the soul will enter the bird, the green birds. Yeah? To show you the happiness that you will get, yeah, even you are not there yet. And that's why the Prophet said, the good soul will always ask, when is Qiyamah? When is Qiyamah? They want Qiyamah to take place as soon as possible, because God has informed them about the good news that they are going to paradise. And like in the ayah, Allah said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنُ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَّزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا Angel will come and inform them that Allah is going to reward you with paradise. So don't worry, be happy. There's nothing to worry anymore. But those, the other side of the people, they will always hope Qiyamah will not take place yet. Because they know, when Qiyamah is going to come, then they are going to end in Jahannam. That's how it goes. Yeah. Yeah, the torment of the grave do exist for certain sin that you have committed. Now, any two more questions from the brother here, please. For those who miss their fasting, how many days in Ramadan, please try your best, yeah, to make your qada as soon as possible. Don't delay it. You know? We don't know what's going to happen to us. You know? Naam.
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum salam. This
regarding the congregational prayers, during the congregational prayers, we are supposed to touch the shoulders
the
and
shoulder,
the feet.
The shoulder.
Now, what about the latecomers? When they, once Imam Salam, then latecomers after completing the next prayers, the completion of this thing, will they be touching together or will it be?
Yeah, this is a separate, good question. Now, say the example, for those who have started the prayer of the Imam from the first rak'an, who have the full rak'an with the Imam, all of them must stand shoulder to shoulder, feet to feet, stand close to each other. Now, you have latecomer, two or three of them. If alone, of course, then you are standing alone. But you have two or three latecomer who are standing side by side. Yeah, the same kind of stuff, shoulder to shoulder, feet to feet. Now, after the Imam gives salam, they have to stand up and complete the rakat they miss. Must they stand together like how they stand for the congregation? No. They can now make some movement among them, because they are not going to pray and move together like the in the jama'ah anymore. Everybody will do their own thing now. You are no more with the Imam. You have to complete whatever rakat you miss by yourself. So that's why sometimes you see the people of knowledge, when coming to death after the Imam gives salam, they stand up, they move a bit. They move ahead a bit to show you that now they are by themselves. Yeah, you don't have to stand together like the first jama'ah anymore.
All right. Okay, next question is about Friday prayers. Okay, this Friday prayers is two rakat.
Correct.
So the latecomers, if the first rakat is late, then they pray two rakats. But if it comes the last tahiyatu, when he comes and join, will he be praying two or four?
No. When you miss one rakat with the Imam, there's no more rakat for you anymore. There's no Jumat for you. You have to pray Zuhur. If you want to be a latecomer for a good reason, you can. Yeah, with a good reason. It's not something that you plan purposely. You are lazy to follow imam from the beginning. You only come in the second rakat always. That means your Jummah prayer is gone because you purposely do not want to listen to the khutbah. Listen to the khutbah Jummah is very important. Yeah? But in the same time, if you get one rakat with the imam, then you get Jummah. But you are late already. So you pray Zuhur. You don't pray Jummah and you pray Zuhur. You got that?
That means if you lose one rakat, you have to pray four rakat.
No. If you lose, you miss only one rakat.
Okay, it's only
you get the second rakat.
All right, okay.
So you can continue one more rakat.
So if it's missed two, then you have to go for four.
Then you do not consider you are praying Jummah anymore. Yeah?
Thanks.
Naam. Any naam, fadda.
Okay, assalamualaikum, says. Waalaikumsalam. One question is, there's a sunnah that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came out from the masjid, he go into the masjid, he use his right feet, and then when he go out from the masjid, and the Rasulullah go out from the left feet.
Yep.
But I heard this saying that it's only applied for the masjid, but it's not applied to our house. So is that true?
Yeah, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ about entering the masjid is very clear. You enter with the right feet and then you leave with the left one. And not only just movement, it's also recommended to recite a short prayer. Example, you enter the mosque, Allahumma aftahli abwab rahmatik. You get out from the mosque, you say what? Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. Example. Yeah? When you enter the washroom, you enter with your left leg. Yeah, that, and then you're coming out, you come out with the right feet. But how about house? So the general hadith is that Prophet loves anybody who do something good, start with the right. There's a general hadith on that, and that's why you see everything that you want to do, think that's good, always from the right. It's like you are putting your garment on, taking out your garment. Always you can do, use the right one. The right arm go in first. Yeah? So whoever want to leave the house with the right or enter the house, normally when you are entering the house, you enter with the right. You are coming home. Yeah? When you're leaving the house, you can go out with your left leg. Yeah. Based on the general hadith. Yeah.
Okay, and the second question is, what is the fatwa on the ladies that use some kind of supplement to control their menses during the Ramadan, so that they will have a full Ramadan?
Allah Rabbul Alameen, who have created male and female differently. And Allah give the female their off days that they just have to pay back the Ramadan but not the prayer. That's why if salat, there is no hukum qada. If there's a hukum qada for salat, then the woman also must pay back their salat that they miss when they're having their period and menses. But people is trying to say, yeah, salat also you can pay back and so on. This is the great fitna of the deen. Yeah? Now, how about women who do not want to miss their fasting days? Can they take some kind of medication, supplement? Anything that you want to take that do not cause harm to your body, you can try. No problem. But it's going to cause some side effect. Yeah? Confirmed by people of knowledge, the doctor, then you are not supposed to do anything that causes harm to yourself. Because the Prophet said, لَا ضَرَرَ وَلَا دِرَارَ. You are not supposed to do anything that causes harm just because of that. It is a different situation like Hajj. Hajj, this is one in your lifetime obligation. You cannot just go to Mecca any year you like. Yeah? Maybe only once in your lifetime. And that's why when people ask the scholars, how about when I'm going to perform Hajj, and I do not know whether my message will come or not, I'm worried. If it happened, then I may not have the right, the chance to fulfill my Hajj. And that is the only thing that the scholar agreed that you can try your level best, seek the advice of the doctor. Because you are not staying there. You have to apply and you have to wait. Maybe you don't have the chance to do it anymore. So that's why Hajj, they do allow you to plan. But when Ramadan, they say you go according to what Allah have ordained for you. Yeah? Don't get upset, brothers and sisters, you know. You accept the qadar of Allah. Yeah? So if the supplement have no side effect, it's purely a good supplement, enhance your hormone, that you delay the menses, then no problem. Now, any last question from the sisters? Sisters first, then we come back to the brothers. Where's the mic for the sister? Please pass to Sister Anita again. Fadal, Sister Anita.
Last question is that I came upon this hadith stating that for us women, if we want to perform our Hajj, we will need our mahram to be with us. Now, if we cannot find someone, our mahram, to accompany us to perform Hajj, Allah has mentioned that our Prophet has said that we can actually get the pahala of Hajj by performing a certain salat in the morning. But I can't remember what salat that is. So that is equivalent to the pahala when you perform Hajj. Can you verify this hadith?
Yeah, any hadith that talk about the special reward that Allah is going to give you is just a reward. Yeah, it didn't allow you to feel that you have fulfilled that obligation. No, it's just an encouragement for you to do that ritual. Yeah? But you still have to perform your Hajj. Now, mahram for Hajj is wajib. Performing Hajj when you have the means is rukun. You understand that? Between rukun and wajib. You will try your best to have a mahram with you. And that's where you see even the scholars, even the authority of Saudi Arabia, will come up with the fatwa. They have to come up with a guidance. Can a woman who don't have a mahram perform Hajj? They will come out with the statement, the fatwa, when they reach certain age. 45 above, example. That means they are mature enough, strong enough, physically, mentally, they are strong enough, and they are not supposed to travel just by themselves, in a group. That means they are sharing the mahram from other people. That's why they say, tumpang mahram. Now, why they come up with that statement? Because they know that their time, there are some women who are not married. Neither they have their sibling with them. Neither they have their parent with them. And you can't they perform the last article of the pillar of Islam, the rukun? Yes, with the condition that you are among the group. And your age have reached certain age. Then you have to have more patience. Now the whole issue about mahram is purely for the security and the safety of the woman. That's how it goes. Yeah. So we were agreed upon that what is wajib. But wajib cannot overrule rukun. Rukun overrule wajib. Yeah. That's how it goes about the ibadah of Hajj. Example, Umrah. Is Umrah wajib? Umrah is sunnah. Is mahram wajib? Mahram wajib. So you don't do Umrah without a mahram. But still, the general principle of the fatwa council say that when you reach the age of certain, age, and then say 45 above, they give you some room, because you are no more the young girl anymore, so you are more stable, you can protect yourself better, and you have a group of sisters who have their husband. That means you are not alone. Your journey will be a safe one. That's how they look into the, they said, azruf, yani, the condition. You got that, inshallah. It's just like the men, sometimes they will come up with a fatwa. Even a man who normally travel without mahram, but they cannot go to Hajj without traveling in a group. Why? Because the journey is not safe for them to go. Last time you don't have flight, you travel by land, and there's a lot of highway robbery, people will attack you, will rob you, so it's not safe. But you have a group to travel, then you can. Even the men, when the journey is not safe, you don't have to go. Now that's how it goes. Zuruf is very important. May Allah make it easy for all of us, inshallah. Last question from the brothers.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, Ustaz.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
It's about jama' qasar during Friday for prayer when we're doing our traveling. When we travel, there are scholars mentioning about when you perform jama' qasar during Friday prayer, you cannot do qasar because Friday prayer is always 2 rakaat, so it's tamam already. So when you jama' with asar, then 2 and 4. Need your comment on this. You cannot do jama' qasar because Friday prayer is always 2, is considered tamam.
Yeah. Now, for those who come up with this statement that qasar for travelers is a command from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, only for travelers. Or the 4 rakat is shortened to 2. Okay? Combine jama' is a choice. You either can combine or not to combine. But qasar is a command. The Prophet said, this is a gift from Allah, except you are not supposed to go against and show ungrateful to Allah's privilege for the travelers. I just this argument has been going on for a long time. My stand on this subject, I said, you can qasar. Of course, you qasar, you can jama. It's nothing to do with qasar for Jumat. As a traveler, all 4 rakat, you shorten it. Only Jumat is become 2 rakat for Zohar. No more Zohar, it transferred to Jumat because you have the khutbah. Yeah? Now, if anybody said, when you are performing Jumat, when you are traveling, you cannot combine. That's what they say. They cannot say you cannot qasar. No. They cannot combine. No jama' with Jumat prayer. They mean Jumat, you pray 2. We wait until Asar time, you pray 2. If you are travelers. Why you exclude Jumat? We want to ask, did the Prophet excluded Jumaat, no Jama'at? Is there any hadith that the Prophet said, for Jumaat, no Jama'at? Then we must follow. But until today, when I ask the people who say no Jama'at in Jumaat, give me an evidence, they can't. Opinion is there. But I will go back to the general hadith. The general hadith said, when you are a traveler, the 4 rakat is shortened to 2. And you are given another extra privilege to combine the prayer together. And the prayer that is allowed to combine day and day prayer, night and night prayer. There's a general hadith, day and day, night and night. That's why Zohor and Asar can be combined, either Jama' Taqdim or Taqir. As Maghrib and Isha, you cannot combine Asar and Maghrib. Because Asar is the day prayer, Maghrib is the night, and Isha is the night prayer. You don't combine Fajr. Fajr is a morning prayer. The only prayer that the Prophet allowed you to combine is day and day, night and night. Whoever said Jumaat, you can't, then they must come up with an evidence that the Prophet accept Jumaat. Then we accept, no problem. We are very simple people. You can prove to us, we will accept, no problem. You can't, opinion, then we go back to the general hadith. Yeah, just example. If Allah said, I forbid what? Maitata, dead animal. You can't eat haram. Any dead meat is haram. The general ayat is there. And so how about eating fish? Prawn. Do you eat the prawn when the prawn is alive? No. And do you slaughter the prawn? You say Bismillah first? No. You cook the prawn first and then you say Bismillah. Yeah. Now because the Prophet said there is an hadith to explain. Yeah, they said Allah allowed you to eat. There are two kind of mayita. Maytatan. Uhillu lakumul maytatan wa daman. Two kind of dead, yeah, thing that you can eat is what is in the sea, all the seafood, and also al-jarad, grasshopper. We can eat grasshopper. You don't have to slaughter grasshopper. You catch grasshopper, if you want to eat raw, you eat. If not, you just barbecue it. It become crispy, but you are not used to it. I'm just saying why. If you want to say that that particular day there is no combination, you must have that clause. Except Jumaat. Until today, they cannot show me. Yarhamkallah. But opinion is there. So if people want to argue, my stand is also very simple. If you have doubts, then you don't have to jama. After Jumaat, you just carry on your life and then wait for Asar to come in, you pray Asar to rakat. This is called khuruj min al-iqtilaf. There's another room in Islam, say khuruj min al-iqtilaf. You get yourself out from this argument. You say no, but you don't have evidence. I say yes, because I believe that the general order is there. But I'm not going to force you to follow me. Neither you can stop me from doing that prayer. So we choose the middle way. If you feel comfortable, you can join me for the jama. If not, you wait and then after you pray by yourself. Easy? Yeah. When you have the right understanding, it's easier, inshallah. Yeah. And if you are very confused, brother and sister, then stay away from the gray area. Yeah. It's easier as that. Now, last one, inshallah. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Question of qada.
Qada.
The 5 pillars of Islam, the only ritual or prayer that we can qada is the fasting.
Fasting, yes.
Now we're talking about prayers, the Fardhu prayers. Those who haven't prayed for years, you know, and then they want to change, they realize they've done mistakes, so they want to be good now. And this is, you must, every time you must add, every time you pray, that prayer, you have to add another qada so that you catch on. I said, you are putting somebody a barrier.
Yeah.
So I said, is there any hadith? And they get into, they look me, they don't too happy with me when I say that.
Yeah, I know a lot of people sometimes is making a lot of statement today. They say that for those who miss their fardu prayer, they must pay back. Like how they had to pay back Ramadan. They miss their fard of Ramadan, you must pay back a day for a day. So you miss, say when you are 15 years old, you don't pray until you are 25 years old. That means 25 years you do not pray. Because you are young, at how many years? 10 years. I add 25. Huh? You have not been praying for 10 years and you still have good feelings. Inshallah, no? When I reach certain age, I'm going to pray and I'm not going to miss the prayer. That was good. But now you reach that age now, so you start to pray, you start to change. But must you pay back a day for a day, a prayer for a prayer, Zohor after Zohor, then Zohor after Asar, then Asar? This kind of qada do not exist in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, neither in the time of the companion, neither by the four imam. It's purely based on logic by some people. Allah is more merciful and more forgiving. You have committed a sin by not doing what you must do as a Muslim. But certain things Allah just want you to repent and He will forgive you. That's all. He just need you to repent, not to abandon the prayer anymore. Then Allah will forgive you. Like I said again, if you said that Ramadan and is fardu, Salat also is fardu. If you miss the fardu, you must pay back. Then why the sister do not pay the day they miss their prayer? Why the Allah did not command them to make the qada for their salah? And why the Prophet now said, you must even qada your salah because you have to qada your fasting? It because the fasting, there is room for you to qada. When prayer, Allah want it cash, not credit. You don't do it out of your own ignorance, may Allah forgive you. Out of your own callousness, may Allah forgive you. And Allah is all forgiving. It's something I give you an analogy easier. You want to borrow money from me. Can you lend me 1,000? I said, no. Must you pay me any money? If I don't allow you to borrow any money from me, must you pay me? Allah wants the prayer to be in cash, not credit. But you don't want to pray, you commit a sin, khalas. You repent, I forgive you. Is that easy? It's more easier. You don't make qiyas in ibadah. Ibadah is not for you to pick and choose and then try to say it like this. If everybody can do that, oh, Allah, that's why they have this commercial kind of thing going on when you go to Mecca today. There will be a notice around floor sometimes near the wall or even near the leaf. Whoever have missed their prayer for years and years, you want somebody to pray on your behalf. For 1 year prayer, this is the cost. Go by package A, package B, package C. They are doing that now. So you know how cunning people can be. Okay. That's my young elder sister. Saying bye-bye to me. Okay. Alhamdulillah. You know why where was I just now? Huh? Package. You know why they do that? There's some cunning I would say they're also very ignorant, they commercialize everything. For you no problem, because to them they said if I pray one time in haram, is equivalent to 100,000 times. You pay me for 1 year, I only pray for you one time. The reward in haram, 100,000. Wow. Big business. And those who are naive, wow, is an offer, special offer, man. And these people who want to help me, they are from haram, from Makkah. Astaghfirullah. Ibadah is for every individual. Except the thing that Allah allowed, the Prophet allowed, fasting. Somebody can fast on your behalf. The Prophet allowed that. Then you can allow that because the Prophet allowed that. That means if your parent who passed away, you know that 1 week they never fast, they miss their fast. You can, after you complete your Ramadan, you can fast on their behalf. The Prophet allows that. So we can allow that. If you say everything somebody can do on behalf, wow, that's good, man. That means whoever die, like my family member who die as a disbeliever, I can go and visit the graveyard. Hey, brother, you just listen. I'm going to make shahada now, and this shahada is on your behalf. And I declare you a Muslim today. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. I consider Muslim, khalas. You can't. This is something that every individual must do it by themselves. Unless the Prophet said somebody can do on your behalf. Like Hajj, on your behalf, yes. Yeah, Ramadan, on behalf, yes. Because the hadith is there. Yeah? So may Allah help us, inshallah. And don't make qiyas in every ibadah. There is some qiyas. There is dalil we follow. No dalil, we stop there. And may Allah accept all our deeds, forgive all our sin. And brother and sister, inshallah, we hope to next Sunday. Never mind, you see, you'll be informed again. I think I won't be around. Yeah, I will be in Fiji for a camp, but I forgot whether we have arranged somebody to take over my class. But you can look at our website, inshallah. If there's no cancellation, that means the class is on. Somebody will come to take over my place, inshallah. So may Allah bless all of us. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Okay. Brothers and sisters, special announcement. There is a walimatul urus, invitation for a wedding. On the 8th of July, this coming Saturday. Saturday. And it will be held in Jalan 13/50 Taman Setia Wangsa. Everybody who is here is invited for this walima. The walima will start from 12 noon until 4 p.m. 8th of July, Saturday. Because they did not bring enough card, so we just make an announcement. So the alamat, anybody who want to, from Sister Nur Mazia Pai Abdullah, she's there behind, Sister Pai Sana, you just raise up your hand again. Sister Pai. So there is a sister. Anybody who want to know further, please approach her and get for further information, inshallah. So may Allah make it easy for all of us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.